answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
Texas Governor Greg Abbott not backing down, declaring his state has the right to self-defense after the Supreme Court ruled the Biden administration can remove razor wire installed by the state's National Guard along the southern border. Abbott writing, quote, I have already declared an invasion to invoke Texas's constitutional authority to defend and protect itself. That authority is the supreme law of the land and supersedes any federal statutes. The governor's fight against the Biden administration receiving support from at least six Republican governors so far, all announcing they back his border actions, blaming Biden for the crisis.
Yeah, they're blaming Biden for the crisis because that's where the blame falls. Biden and the administration. It's not just Texas Governor Abbott saying that, and it's not just Texas governors and representatives that are on the GOP side. Even Mayor Adams of New York City has said, you got to stop this. We can't sustain it. Or you got to send us more money. See, that's always going to be their way out. More and more money. They're like a child you give money to, and they're coming back and say, I want more. I want more. And if you give it to them, they're going to come back and ask for more. They're never going to have enough as long as you're just willing to hand it over to them. And there's no fiscal responsibility. They can go spend it on whatever they want. And you don't care because you're going to give them more if they need it. That was a Fox report on Abbott and how he's continuing to fight against this administration with going to the Supreme Court to say the razor wire on the border has to come down. And yesterday they had backhoes out there lifting some of it up high enough so illegals could crawl under it, not be scratched. Other areas are cutting it up. I still say you can go back to the private lands of those cattle ranches all along the south. I don't know the full limit of what they are or not able to use the Rio Grande for their cattle or anything they need. I don't even claim to have that, but I do know there are a lot of ranches down there. And if they just start stringing across their ranch, they may get out of the Rio Grande. They may get up on the Texas border. They may be up on U.S. soil. But that might be part of a zone declared federal, not Texas. And you cannot tell the Texas farmers down there and ranchers, you cannot fence in your area. They do it all the time to keep their cattle in. Now they can also use it to keep out, I was going to say coyotes. They do use them to keep out coyotes, but now we're talking about coyotes, those who transfer and bring across illegals. Here we are in the second hour of Larry Connors USA for January 24, 2024. Glad to have you with us. Second hour, reminding you that video of the show is always streaming when we're on the air. At Larry Connors USA, Facebook, Twitter, Rumble, and on Newstalk STL, Facebook, Rumble, Twitter, and YouTube. And, of course, if you miss it at all, it's also available at Larry Connors USA later. Or you go to LarryConnorsUSA.com and pull up any program you want, and you'll get the video and our audio. See it, watch it, listen to it, digest it in your own time. And share with others. Get them involved in the conversation. So here is Fox saying, Governor Abbott's trying to protect his own border from an invasion. It clearly is an invasion. And they're coming mostly through into Texas. Now, they can get across into other states that border Mexico, Arizona, New Mexico, California. But if they're going to go into Texas, which the longest one stretch of the border, they've got to go across the Rio Grande. And if the governor of Texas said, we're putting up razor wire to keep them from actually stepping foot onto our land, and again, You'd have to battle over where the federal land is versus the state land. But they don't have to go that route. That's just the easiest way for them. And keep in mind, California said it's a sanctuary state. So if those who want to come up from the western side of Mexico, they'd have no problem. Just go right on through. And unfortunately, they're not having much of a problem at the southern border around Texas either because of this administration. Virginia Congressman Klein is one of those congressmen who says Abbott has every right to be doing what he's doing.
It's ridiculous to claim that a Texas governor can't use his own National Guard for the self-defense of his own state. So we are in support of Governor Abbott's actions. We think that it's a misread of the Constitution and of federal law to interfere legally with a state's right to defend itself. So I hope that, and my governor, Glenn Youngkin, is actually out in front supporting this action as well. So we hope that we can resolve this in a way that enables Texas to defend its border and defend not only Texas citizens, but all citizens, including those here in my home state of Virginia.
And yeah, I mean, we're talking about defending the nation. It's not just Texas. Now, I am partial to Texas. I was born there, but you don't have to be a Texan to be concerned about what's going on. The survey of those who voted in New Hampshire showed close to 80% of them, their primary concern, this was among the Republican voters, primary concern was immigration and actually illegal immigration. We're not in this country against immigration by proper channels. We still let a million into the nation every year through various passes and lottery numbers they win, however they do it that fashion. In some cases, because they're under threat, they do need true asylum. Many of these coming across now don't need, quote, asylum. They just want a better place to live. And I cannot complain about their desire to do that. I mean, I would want it for my family. If I were in one of these assholes Trump has mentioned before, I'd want out of there to get my family out. And the other thing you have to keep in mind, those who come across the border end up having babies here, those babies are American citizens. Can't deport them anymore. So even if Trump wins by a landslide, he can't go out and start rounding all these up if they're having children. Now, if they're pregnant, they could probably still be deported. And all I know, I hear the hue and cry already. Oh, my God, how can you be so inhumane? I consider it more inhumane for those who would kill an unborn baby. But if they have the baby is a U.S. citizen. They cannot be taken out of the country. You could take the parents, but I don't think we're going to get to that point that we have to be that concerned about it. I'm still willing to give allowance for those who don't like the idea. I will go along with you to an extent, but I'm not going to simply buy into your theory that, well, anybody that got in here gets to stay. No, they don't. We got people trying to come in the country legally now from all over the world. Their paperwork is jammed up because they've got agents processing all the illegals coming in. It gets to the point where some of those who are waiting patiently say, heck with it, I'll just find my way to Mexico. Once I get there, they can't stop me from going across the border. And that is correct. We can't. Not the way this administration is running things. They'll simply walk across the border as part of a caravan, and just keep moving, and they will do nothing that will change things at that point. And it's not going to change until we actually have somebody who knows what they're doing. Texas Senator Ted Cruz on the border crisis.
Senator, so we're hearing you don't like the Senate border deal at all to get aid for Ukraine and Israel in the Indo-Pacific. Why don't you like it?
Well, Liz, great to be with you. Thank you for having me. When I say I don't like it, let me point out, I haven't seen the text of the bill and nobody else has. They're keeping it secret. But what they're describing on the face of it is not going to solve the problem. We are facing an absolute crisis at our southern border. We're facing the worst illegal immigration in our nation's history. 9.6 million people have crossed illegally into the United States under Joe Biden. And from everything that's been described of this deal, it won't fix the problem. And even worse, from what I understand it, this deal effectively normalizes 5,000 illegal aliens a day. That works out to over 1.8 million illegal aliens a year, or about 6 million under the 3 years of Joe Biden. That is absolutely unacceptable.
It has to be unacceptable. There is no place that we can suddenly start taking 5,000 illegals a day. I mean, New York has maybe 160,000 total out of these 7 to 9 to 11 million that have already come in, and they're complaining, oh, we're overcrowded, we're overcrowded. You're New York City, you're not overcrowded. You just don't have facilities for them until you kick veterans out of homes so they can go in there, or until you close down schools and you set up camps for the illegals inside schools and force the kids back to Zoom learning. Yeah, you're doing a lot for our country in that point. And the deal that Cruz is saying, they're behind doors working on this, and I don't like that at all. Because too many of the so-called Republicans will end up caving. They will not stand tall and say, no way. And Cruz said, don't forget just those who are coming across being illegal. Think of the mix of criminals. Cartels.
It is a humanitarian disaster. It is enriching Mexican drug cartels by tens of billions of dollars. It is resulting in children being viciously assaulted. And I'll tell you also, Liz, it is an enormous national security threat to the United States.
So
I believe today, the risk of a terrorist threat today is greater than it's been any time since September 11th.
How can the Senate Democrats and the White House get away with this?
Look, that's exactly right. And the reason they're doing it, this is the outcome they want. Understand, when Joe Biden came into the White House, he inherited the lowest rate of illegal immigration in 45 years. He inherited incredible success. Under President Trump, we had great success securing the border. And Joe Biden deliberately, systematically broke the border and opened it up.
He did. He broke the border and just said, come on in. We don't have an issue here. And yet in 2007, when he was asked, what do you think about these sanctuary cities? Should they allow these people in? He said, no. That was then. This is now. Cruz again saying, you're looking for one linchpin that destroyed everything? Joe Biden.
There were three decisions that were made in the very first week of Biden's presidency that caused this crisis. In the first week, he immediately halted construction of the border wall. He reinstated the disastrous policy of catch and release, and he pulled out of the unbelievably successful Remain in Mexico international agreement. And instantaneously, within hours, we went from the lowest rate of illegal immigration in 45 years to the worst rate of illegal immigration in our nation's history. Because the reason is the cartels now know and the illegal immigrants now know that if you come, the Biden administration will let you go. I spend a lot of time on the southern border. I go out on midnight patrol with the Border Patrol agents. The illegal aliens look for Border Patrol agents. They affirmatively turn themselves in. And the reason is the agents ask them, where do you want to go? And they respond, I want to be in New York. I want to be in Boston. I want to be in Chicago. I want to be in Dallas. And what happens? Joe Biden and his administration puts them on planes, puts them on buses, sends them to every city in America. And without exaggeration, Joe Biden is the largest human trafficker on the face of the planet because he is the final mile of the human trafficking network.
The final mile of the human trafficking network. And yet, I assume he sleeps peacefully at night. Not even thinking about the children that are being raped, mutilated along that cartel route before they get here. And then when they get here, who are they turned over to? Someone who's really a relative? We don't know. We don't know. We just, they have a number in their pocket. We call it and say, yeah, I was expecting, that's my niece, send her up here. the death, the mental, physical destruction upon all these children should keep Joe Biden awake every single night. But unfortunately, it doesn't. Of course, there's an all-out attack on Donald Trump, and it continues to escalate, often with really no substance, but they don't care about facts. Leftist media is more than happy to carry the water. Just hand me the pail. I'll run it up the hill for you. But I want you to hear from Fox Business anchor Charles Payne and his reaction.
Listen, I think it's worse with Biden calling MAGA. Biden's anger and vitriol and hatred for MAGA is far more worse than President Trump's individual battles with someone who crosses him. That is something that is really detrimental to this country, that the president of the United States despises half of the United States. President Biden, I said earlier today, about a week ago, I had a segment coming up, so I Googled Biden hates MAGA. Nothing but articles after articles after articles. He has expressed hatred for
who's
half
writing
of the country.
Those articles.
It doesn't matter.
And
look
it's
at
not.
Him. Because the bottom line is he says it. He has vitriol for them. And so does MSNBC, and so does CNN, and so does the New York Times. They have vitriol for half of the nation. They don't look at them like fellow Americans, and it's unfortunate. They try to paint them as racist. That all the things that they do to their fellow Americans who simply want a safe home, a safe community, for their children to have prosperity, they want the same thing, but they demean them all the time. That's why I think Phillips was so intriguing, because he went to a rally to find out for himself. And guess what? Golly, these are some pretty cool people.
Pretty cool people. They were not angry and in your face all the time, and they would have you believe Trump it would be. Charles Payne, in case you didn't know it, is a black man. And he said they want to paint him as racist all the time. He's not. Senator Tim Scott has said the same thing. He's not racist. Why would I be standing with him? The answer from the left is, one, you shouldn't be standing with him, and two, you must be an Uncle Tom. You're just going to follow him around, wait for a hush puppy to be thrown your way from time to time. That's, again, what Charles Payne was saying. They're going to demean anyone that supports some of Trump's plans and thoughts. Does not mean you fully endorse him. I don't. I do not fully endorse Trump on everything. But I know he would be a hell of a lot better for our country than what we've got facing us right now. And was, when he was running against Hillary, Benghazi, Clinton at the same time. We cannot have such hacks running our country, because they don't really love the country, and they don't want to fight to protect it and take care of it. These Democrats of today, even though some might still have some ties to the days of JFK and Tip O'Neill, they, for the most part, they are just absolutely sold out. They're embarrassed, but also fearful that they'll be called out. Coming up, there's been some developments reference the House, or rather the GOP chairman in Arizona, because of that audio report with him and Kerry Lake. That's coming up, lock and load, ready on the right.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
Question, do you know what vermiculite is? It is an insulation in the attics of hundreds of thousands of homes and public buildings. Looks like kitty litter, but often contains asbestos. Wellington Environmental is the largest company in the Midwest that can remove that hazard for you. Wellington has what is called the General, a powerful industrial vacuum that can suck vermiculite out of the attic. Hang on, there's something else you should know. Many of you might qualify for up to a $4,000 rebate. You should at least contact Wellington to see if you qualify. And here's something else. Wellington arrives at the time they give you, not sometime within 4 hours. 314-644-4930. 644-4930. WellingtonSTL.com. WellingtonSTL.com. Wellington Environmental. Your world cleaner, better, safer. Be well with Wellington.
Talk radio made in St. Louis.
Very excited for what you guys are doing for the St. Louis community.
For St. Louis.
Relevant local talk.
Saying what we are thinking.
This is News Talk STL.
No, you guys are awesome. I love you. And it really, it's a tremendous honor to be on the station.
News, analysis, and opinion.
Thanks for us covering the local and global.
Oh, people, this is America.
We better open our eyes.
Really local, really good.
News Talk STL at 101.9, 94.1 and NewsTalkSTL.com.
As a truck driver, I've learned how important road safety is. I know that large trucks need more time and room to stop. That's why I always hang back and follow other vehicles at a safe distance. Everyone can help keep our roads safe. Next time you're driving, try to remember to always give trucks extra space when you merge in front of them. Let's all plan to share the road safely. Learn how at www.sharetheroadsafely.gov.
Ackerman Toyota had a great 2023, so Jay asked me to thank you for all of your support. Loyal customers making Ackerman Toyota number one in St. Louis Toyota sales. Number one out of the 75 Toyota dealers in the region in Camry and Corolla sales. Ackerman has the lowest prices, great selection. Visit Ackerman at Hampton and 44 or online, AckermanToyota.com. Ackerman Toyota, for life.
This is News Talk STL. This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
There are very powerful people that want to keep you out.
I know they do.
But they're willing to put their money where their mouth is in a big way. So, this conversation never happened.
This is crazy, though. They should want me. I'm a great candidate. People love me. These people are corrupt.
Well, maybe you're right.
They are right. They are corrupt.
This is a wrap. Don't go. Do you ever though? I'll get myself in trouble. This, if you say no, that's just fine. It's your choice. Don't tell people.
They're gonna try to have me murdered.
I wouldn't doubt that either. Today's world, man. If that stuff that came out last week is right about the cartel stuff, man. They said the cartel's operating in 50 states right now, like all 50. You know? So.
So what's going on? Who is it? What?
Forget the who. Let me just tell you the what. Let's just say there are people calling around saying, gosh, no, they can't repeat this. Never repeat this. If you say no, don't. If you say, I got offered to buy out. Don't use it. Because then we lose our ability to get things done in the future.
Here's my problem. Rather than just say, let's work with her. She's a great candidate. Because they don't own me. And it pisses me off.
That is part of the tape conversation. We were playing all of it yesterday for you. Going to play a couple more clips between Arizona Senate candidate Kerry Lake and the GOP chairman in Arizona, Jeff DeWitt. It began with Jeff DeWitt saying, hey, there's some powerful people who'd like to see you get out of the race. And she said, well, who? And he said, well, who doesn't matter? Yeah, it does. It does matter. But he wasn't going to tell them. And then she said, the only way they're going to get me out is if they murder me. And she kind of laughs. And then Jeff DeWitt, whatever, however you pronounce it, I call it Mud at this point, suggests, there are a lot of drug cartels in the U.S., in all 50 states. Would you take that as a threat? A physical harm threat? When she says, oh, they'd have to murder me first. And he then throws in, there are a lot of drug cartels. Almost suggesting that you could be whacked by one of them. No ties to the guys back east that he won't name. Development, breaking story here. Breaking story here for you today. Now, Jeff DeWitt chair of the Arizona Republican Party, is backing down, resigning from his position, as well he should. And he should be facing possible criminal investigation. Was he trying to set up a bribe to Carrie Lake to get out of the race? Should he be questioned about a death threat against her? I don't know if that's going to happen, but he is resigning, and apparently it came as an ultimatum from Carrie Lake's team, because they are now threatening to release more audio of these conversations. Now, I don't know the law in Arizona. I didn't gather this was a phone conversation, but it is possible in some states, if one party wants to record it, they're allowed to do so. Now, they cannot then turn around and give it to media because it would be a violation. But if it's a conversation they recorded in his office, probably, or he went to her office, she's entitled to record it she wants. And if he's stupid enough to make these mistakes, yeah, she would have known that it was recording. But she's probably thinking, oh, surely won't. And it continued to go down that path. They want to remove her and get him out. And their team has threatened to release more if they don't do it. Now, you got to keep in mind, Carrie Lake, according to everything that was presented the other day, was she is neck and neck to replace their three Senate candidates, one Kristen Sinema, who's become more independent, and then another. So it's very tight. And somebody wants Carrie Lake out of the way because maybe she would cause too much trouble. And it is a one-party, thank you. Quentin, my producer, co-producer, found that Arizona is a one-party consent state, which I gathered was, and that would be even with a telecommunication, a phone call, which it probably is. But as I said, you don't have to notify the person you're going to record them. That's existing in many states. If I'm going to record you and put you on the air, I have to have your permission. I can't just do a recording with you and then suddenly put it on the air. Nor can, I mean, and that's the whole thing. If you call into a station on a contest line, they're probably going to record you. You should know that. But in this case, a conversation taking place in an office, they don't have to say you're running a tape. I could walk around with my tape recorder in my pocket all the time. You couldn't do a thing about it. One party consent, I'm the party that consents. Now, when DeWitt was making it clear to her that, you know, it's probably going to be better that you kind of step aside, and he wouldn't tell her again. He was very quiet as to who was involved in this. He didn't want to get into it too deep because he worried about what might happen to him, obviously. But then after having that opening conversation, she's not yielding, and he begins to push.
Where are we in 2 years if they steal the election again?
Listen to what you're saying. Why don't we do something about it?
What?
So that we, the people, can pick our...
What can we do?
I'm not willing to accept that. Then I'm going to be the biggest pain in these people's... Go back and tell them that. Mm-hmm. I'm running, and I'm going to be the biggest pain in their...
And I'm willing to tell them that.
And they're going to have to kill me to stop me. I'm not going to pause for 2 years. The battle is now. I'm offended by whoever these people are that they're trying to
Well, you should be honored.
But I'm offended that there's people back there who just don't give a about our country.
Do you understand, though? You should be honored. That means they know how powerful you are.
Well, I can tell them that.
If you weren't powerful, they wouldn't want to have this conversation.
Yeah.
Right? Very few people get this.
I know. I'm pissed that they don't care more about our country. It's all about the mighty dollar to them. And that's offensive.
It is offensive. But that slimeball says, oh, you should feel really good that they think so highly of you. I mean, consider it a compliment. There's another question I would like to have answered. Was DeWitt due to get a bag of money? If he can call him and say, hey, I got Carrie, she bought it all hook and line. Yep, she's off. We're good. I have no doubt something like that was in play. Well, again, she refused it. And even after he put money on the table, it came down to her saying, I don't care about the money. And she said, the real issue we're facing with here, these are bad people.
These people are un-American, and I think they're unethical, and I would be absolutely immoral if I did that.
Again,
that's immoral. I couldn't look at myself in the mirror if I, you know.
It's very powerful people.
You know what it is? The people don't get to choose their elected officials unless they're pre-approved by the swamp. And the swamp doesn't pre-approve of me.
You need a strong party to help.
I think you should go public with this and then
no,
say, hey,
no.
These people don't want to, they don't want, they're.
And then I turn my key in my car and I go,
no.
No.
I like my car.
Tell them I'm not flattered. I'm offended that they.
Don't tell anybody we had this conversation.
I'm offended that they don't care about our country more.
I actually wish you'd just give me a counteroffer this big. Give me a counter.
I can't be bought.
Come on.
I can't.
But he said, just give me a number. Give me a starting number, a negotiating number. No, I can't. She's basically dying for millions and millions of dollars. I can't be bought. Now, since that's come out, and again, the GOP chair is booted or resigning because he thought maybe it caused too much noise. No kidding. You heard what happened when she said, maybe you ought to go public with this. Tell everybody that this is going on. Oh, no. I might go to put my key in my car and kaboom. Which, again, implies to me a veiled threat against Kerry. If you go public with it or you don't buy into this, you might have your car go boom. DeWitt has made it abundantly clear, and the conversation never happened, said, we don't want to talk about it. We don't want anyone else to know. Don't be saying anything about it. He did not address details of the recording when questioned later, including the implied bribe and his own suggestion that something could happen to him if he exposed these powerful people. He said, I'm willing to fight for my position, but I received an ultimatum from Lake's team to resign or face the release of a new, more damaging recording. He said, I'm truly unsure of these contents, but considering our numerous past upon conversations at friends, I've decided not to take the risk. You were never a friend. You were a slime ball, thinking you could control Kerry Lake. Again, telling her, you should be flattered that they want to get you. I remember one time down in Texas, a guy wanted me to get off of a news story I was pursuing hotly. And I made a deal with him that I would for $50,000. You want to know what happened next? I'll tell you when we continue.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
I'm always glad to have new sponsors, but I have turned some down. See, I only endorse clients if I believe in them. And I've been a spokesman for John Beal for 10 years. Through those years, listeners said they went with John Beal because they trusted me. And just recently, a woman named Mary wrote, we got a John Beal roof based on your recommendation. Thank you, Mary, and all the others for calling John Beal, 1-800-NEW-ROOF, 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
No matter how large or small your digging project may be, no matter how urban or rural, you must always call 811 before any digging project. 811 is our national one-call number, alerting your local utility companies to come out and mark any lines they have near your dig site. So before you do this or this, make sure you do this. For digging projects big or small, make the call to 811, brought to you by Common Ground Alliance.
Sometimes you want to do something extra special for someone. Vincent's Jewelers can help you. Maybe you want to do something for yourself, mark a date, something you accomplished. It doesn't have to be anything really expensive, but it has to mean something now and for the future. Vincent's, locally owned, just asked for the chance to work with you, as they have with me, on Olive, just east of 270. Every day, new specials at vincentsjewelers.com or Vincent's Facebook.
The United States Deputy Sheriff's Association is a national nonprofit and the largest non-governmental provider of services to law enforcement. The USDSA assists city, county, state, and federal agencies with free safety equipment donations and officer survival training, along with cash donations to families of law enforcement officers who perished in the line of duty, a citizen awareness program, and more. For more information on United States Deputy Sheriff's Association, please visit usdeputy.org.
One of the five most traumatic experiences in life is moving. I can assure you that McGuire Moving can help ease that pressure. Moving into a new home or a new business, locally, internationally. McGuire is rated number one. More than 80 years of experience. Free estimate, call McGuire, 314-241-0600. 241-0600. McGuireMoving.com.
This is News Talk STL.
1, 2, 3, they gonna run back to me. They always wanna come, but they never wanna leave.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
Yeah, welcome back. As I was saying, there was a time when I was a reporter in Houston for a TV station. I was going after this particular town. It was a true company-owned town. You know, it's just like James Dean and seeing Big John. You know, everything was owned by the company or one guy. Now, I'm actually looking at a map of Texas now, and I do not see it. I don't know if it finally went away or what, but there's nothing wrong with a company owning a town if that's the way they built it up around their refinery or whatever it was. But then some of the rules, the way they were enforcing them and so forth, and people were having to pay exorbitant amounts of rent to live and work there, and yet it was the only thing they had going for them. We're talking about, of course, I'm not that old enough, but several decades ago, obviously I was old enough, and I was trying to set up an interview with the so-called mayor, self-appointed mayor, founder, owner of this town. It was north of Houston, that I do know, and it was off kind of in the middle of nowhere, but when you went in, I mean, that everything was labeled with that town sign, and I'd drawn a total blank on it now. So, oh, Larry's making it up. Okay, that's fine. Then just stay with me for a fun story anyway. Word came to me. I never got to talk to him directly. But I talked to some residents, and they were very reluctant to open their doors. They'd say hidden behind the screen door if they talked at all. And I never got a chance to talk to him direct, but word came to me. He would like you to just go away. What will it take? And I said, tell him $50,000. There's no way he's going to do that. The answer came back, okay. Where? And I said, Paris. Well, there's a Paris, Texas. So maybe that's what they first thought of. But no. I said, Paris, France. Buy me a round-trip ticket, first class, to meet you somewhere in Paris, and you give me the money there. I wanted some documentation. And then I was telling the news director that they might actually do this. They might actually buy me a plane trip to Paris, France. There we've got the documentation. They bought the ticket. Now, they may run it through some shell or whatever. But, I mean, why else would I be going to Paris, France for 2 days? And if they give me a check or they give me cash, would document it, bring it back here, and then blow the thing sky high. I don't know if we had a leak inside the newsroom. But I tried to keep it very close to the chest, didn't discuss it with anybody but the news director, and I think maybe one of the station attorneys was involved at one point. But I thought, well, at least I'll get a trip to Paris out of it. I would. So I was looking for that opportunity and see what would happen. Yeah, I see these towns. Quentin gave me a list of these. It was none of these. One of them rings kind of familiar, but not close enough that I'd put them into the story. But thanks for the effort. But in the end, no flight was purchased for me to go to Paris. And I didn't want to take a payoff in town. We could have done it. But by then, they had begun to sniff something was wrong, so it just all went away. We continued doing stories for a while until finally that there was no interest. So it died on the vine, so to speak, and that was it. But I thought, you know, I got this guy. I got him, and he buys me a ticket to go to Paris, France. We got proof he was going really hard to shut the story down. Maybe if I'd made it cheaper, maybe he would have. I don't know. $50,000, a lot of money back then. So maybe I blew the story by not pursuing it properly. If so, then shame on me. I have to be admitting to you, not the first time I've blown a story that had a lot of good material to go with it. Now, here's something else I want to share with you. It is official, and that is that Peter Navarro, one-time advisor to former President Trump, got sentenced to prison. Why did he get sentenced? He refused to comply with a congressional investigation into the January 6th attack. Two counts of contempt of Congress. He was convicted on that. One for failing to produce documents related. Another, looky here. Another, he skipped his deposition. Hunter, do you see this? No one's above the law, right? So Peter Navarro decided to skip the deposition, did not give them the documents they wanted, and since the January 6th inquiry was being run by loony libs, he said, I'm not going to bother. Prosecutors arguing Navarro showed utter disregard for the House Committee's probe. I wonder if those same prosecutors are employed at the DOJ right now and could say the same thing about Hunter Biden. Utter disregard to answer the subpoena. They added utter contempt for the rule of law. Well, they got the ammunition to use when they want to. They asked the judge to impose 6 months in prison. Well, they didn't get six, but they got four. The same sentence had been recommended for Steve Bannon, a former White House advisor, convicted on two counts of contempt of Congress last year. He got 4 months in prison. However, he has yet to serve a day. The judge said he could remain free pending appeal in November. But for all those on the left that cry out that no one's above the law, how does that fit with the situation of Hunter Biden refusing to show up for a subpoena. And in fact, holding a news conference on the Senate side of Capitol Building so the House Marshal won't come running out and arrest him. How does that coincide that when Hunter shows up unannounced, unplanned, unscheduled in a House committee hearing, causing obviously a lot of disruption, security personnel had to be brought in, Secret Service, but he didn't testify. In fact, he sat there just listening with his arms folded until Marjorie Taylor Greene started speaking, and he got up and started walking out, and she called him a coward. And prior to that, he did sit in place and kind of look like, not that he was ashamed, but how dare the woman talk to me like that? And that was Congresswoman Stefanik when she said, "You don't have the balls to be who you supposedly are." I'm going to give those two women credit for that. The Justice Department judge said he will decide whether Navarro's sentence will be deferred after the counsel submits arguments in writing. The same ex-Trump advisor ordered to pay a $9,500 fine. And then the judge chided Navarro and his counsel, saying, "You're blaming politics." He said, "We're unfortunate the statements mislead. They mislead. Nancy Pelosi is not responsible for his prosecution. Joe Biden isn't responsible for the prosecution. It's these kinds of statements from someone who knows better that contribute to the why our politics are so divisive." But it's okay to let Hunter Biden get away with his stuff? See, I think that's where the break is in our divisiveness. In fact, Navarro's attorney said punishing Dr. Navarro will not fix or change that, judge. Navarro had said last year when he refused to move forward on anything, he said, "I expect to get into the Supreme Court with this." I hope he does. Because keep in mind, as we told you yesterday, the January 6th committee did delete or misplaced, or the dog ate them, more than 100 files. And it happened, it just co-inky dinky, happened just days before the Republicans took control of all the records in the House. I mean, they would have had everything at their fingertips. And yet, just days before they're sworn in, many of them being reelected, but many coming in on, we're going to dig into this Hunter Biden thing. All the records, about 117, according to the forensics team looking for them, for Fannie Willis, they went missing on January 1. You can't make this stuff up. You write a movie with this kind of storyline in, everybody's going to say, "What are they on? What are they smoking?" And that's what I'd say you need to ask Hunter. Ask Hunter what he's smoking. All right, so there's been concern about what we know and what we don't know about COVID, when we're told, when we're not told. There's a new revelation on that, and Tucker Carlson on his program was raising the issue with Senator Rand Paul.
As you pointed out, millions died. And, you know, we've had over 1,000 people arrested for milling around the Capitol 3 years ago, January 6th. No one's been arrested for this. Millions dead, no one's been arrested. My brother ran into Tony Fauci in our family dog park in Washington the other day. He had Secret Service protection. He's retired. He works at Georgetown. He doesn't work for the U.S. government. He has government-financed security. I don't. I mean, my point is, he has not been punished, he's continuing to live at public expense at the highest possible level. He's being lauded. When does someone get punished for what has got to be the greatest crime ever committed?
Those are good questions from Tucker. When is someone going to be punished? And it is the greatest crime ever committed when you look at the millions who were killed. I mean, I'm taking nothing away from Holocaust. I'm taking nothing away from the bombing of Hiroshima and Nagasaki. But millions killed during this COVID thing because, in many cases, information was not being released. Epoch Times has out some emails that they've come across showing that clear the CDC never sent out an alert to their health alert system, their network, which goes to state and local officials, doctors across the country, that would say, basically, we're having problems with myocarditis, heart inflammation after patients have the COVID-19. Even young, healthy men, suddenly their hearts were enlarged, the lining anyway, and so some of them became fatal and some recovered. But when it came time to release that information, as one of those being quoted in the Epoch Times report said, the alert was never sent. Said they didn't want to appear alarmist. Withholding vital information is not being alarmist. That's called CYA. Cover your apple. You know exactly what it means. And this is what these guys were doing behind the scenes. And there were some who wanted to have it released, but then others got in and talked them out of it. So they didn't release it. They never released it. I'm looking at some of the ways they were trying to explain it. And one of them says, I can't even believe there was even a discussion where they're like, we don't want to alarm them. We do need to alarm people. We need people to be aware this is a real potential problem. It could happen. I mean, they were telling us it's a serious thing that you have to stand X feet away from people. You have to wear a mask. Changing businesses, shutting some down. Kids not in school, harming their learning for generations to come. Yeah, you want to know that. And none of that I just told you, it was ever based on science. They just made it up. Even Dr. Fake admitted that the other day. And Senator Rand Paul says, we need an accounting, Senator Rand Paul.
But my question is this, it may sound fair, but how can the NIH or any of these people be objective now in deciding whether we should have to take a vaccine because they got $400 million? Wouldn't that conflict you as far as deciding whether we had a mandate that every six-month-old get a vaccine? So it just never ends here. But Anthony Fauci lied to Congress, and the bottom line is he deserves to be in prison. If he'd have been a Trump supporter, he'd have been in prison long ago, because you're right, there are two sets of standards, and this is one of the things that's tearing the country apart.
Yeah, and Peter Navarro, I just mentioned to you a moment ago, being convicted, sentenced to 4 months because he didn't show up for a subpoena. Have they found any charges on Hunter Biden for not showing up for his subpoena? Let me think here. No! I can answer it right away. They never have. And yet, they're constantly throwing in your face, everybody's treated the same. What it means is everybody is treated the same if you're on our side. What a game. What a game. This is like trying to run a three-ring circus. Over and over. As always, I appreciate you listening. Let others know, will you? Remember our pledge, one nation under God.